Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello and welcome back to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Open Channels. This is our fan call-in show, where prolapsers from all over the world call in, tell their stories, share their theories, or just shoot the shit. Today we have a good bunch of stories, ranging from UFO sightings, sleep paralysis, weird Slenderman sightings. We have one girl who calls in with a very well-prepared summary of the Paul McCartney is dead theory. She's got all her points put together. So it should be a good show. Today's show is myself and Braden taking calls from our listeners, who just happen to be some of the coolest people on the face of the planet. If you want to be on the show, if you want to come on and tell your theories, give your stories, the best way is to send us a quick email to alientheorists@gmail.com. Just give us a quick summary of your encounter, your story, your theory, whatever it is. We will try and give everybody a heads up when the next recording session is on, and we will try and get everybody on the show. Or as many as we can. All right, that's enough bullshit. Let's get to the stories. All right, our first caller is Melissa from Florida. She's calling in with a crazy UFO sighting she had not that long ago. All right, check it out.
Cool. So my name's Melissa, and I live in Florida.
Love Florida.
Yeah, it's great here. I hear all your crazy stories from Orlando, but... okay, so I have a UFO story. This happened to me like a couple years ago. So, that happened like with my boyfriend. I wanted him to come on the show and tell it because he always tells it better than I do. But he's afraid that the aliens are going to hear that we're talking about the experience and then they're going to start fucking with us because like they're going to like, you know, limit the exposure, you know. So like.
How petty of them.
Well, we'll reassure you that that's not going to happen.
Okay, good to know. I was a little nervous.
Well, I'm not going to.
I guess you can't really guarantee anything.
We can't guarantee anything, no. But we'll strongly suggest the aliens leave you alone.
All right. Well, that's good enough for me.
I like to pretend they're petty. They're really petty, and they've got nothing better to do. That's
just fuck like with people.
Think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell your story either way. It's cool.
Okay. All right. So me and my boyfriend were like heading out to dinner and we looked up in the sky and we like saw something weird. We were watching this thing go up and like we thought it was a rocket launch. Like we could see different colored flames coming off of it and stuff, but it like didn't necessarily look like it was going up. It kind of looked like it was going sideways. And then all of a sudden it looked like the object was really close to us and it was like gigantic and right above the tree line. So like we've also seen like the Goodyear blimp and stuff like flies through the area sometimes. So like we were thinking that it might be that, even though it didn't have any of like the same colors as the Goodyear blimp. But anyways, we start like driving towards the ocean. And like we're heading down the street and we see it moving towards the ocean as well. And then like we have to go over this really, really high bridge. And we're thinking, like, okay, we'll definitely see whatever this is when we go over the bridge because, like, it's, like, a super high vantage point. So we get to the top of the bridge, and it's nowhere to be seen. There's no planes. There's no, like, blimps in the sky. There's no helicopters. There's no rockets. It's just gone.
Weird.
So that's pretty much it.
So it looked like a rocket. It was going sideways, and then it came really close, got really big.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was kind of like I don't know, sort of like blimp shaped, I guess, but like, I don't know, wasn't a blimp. I feel like maybe like it could have even been saucer shaped because they're sort of similar, like from the angle you're at. I mean,
right. Like big elongated circular.
Right.
Blimp looking, but not a blimp.
What? Yeah. And we like checked, I like looked up on my phone to see if the Goodyear blimp was like going through the area, and it wasn't. And then I checked for rocket launches and there was nothing.
Interesting.
Was there like other reports? A lot of people see it, or?
Not that I like, I didn't hear anything of anyone else seeing it, honestly.
Do you remember approximately what the date was? Like month?
Honestly, I have no idea. And there's like not really seasons here, so I can't remember. Like, it was just hot outside.
It was hot and humid.
It's always hot.
Yeah, exactly.
How did it make you feel? Because I know anytime I've like had experiences, like I get that like deep sensation of like I'm witnessing something. Would you get any feelings involved with that? Like any?
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, and I had this like visceral reaction. I feel like I like started crying a little bit because I was just like, "What the fuck is this?"
Weird.
Yeah, I know that. I know that feeling that of like you're seeing something definitely off. Yeah, that's cool. I can't remember. See, we've been telling stories on our pod for so long. I can't remember if we've told it, but Ryan and I had a sighting like that that was eventually explained.
Right.
But we were inebriated on various substances that will not be named. And we had seen what appeared to be like a slow moving star, and another star went and like linked up with it, and then they kept going, traveling together. And it looked like one star, like a, if you could imagine like a tow truck star coming and picking up another star, and they just both carrying on together.
What?
We were all like, what the hell is that? And we're freaking out. We're like, we saw a UFO, 100%. That's crazy. And then like 2 days later, we had read like a news article. It was like a space shuttle had docked at the International Space Station. And they're like, oh, if you were looking up in the sky on this date, you might have been able to see it. And we're like, oh shit, that's probably what we saw. A shuttle meeting up, or a satellite linking up with it. But it was definitely, I remember having that like that same like visceral feeling, like just of like wonderment almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a crazy time. I remember that vividly.
Damn.
Hmm.
Yeah, we like, you know, kept an eye on the news and stuff, but like nothing, you know.
Yeah, you should have reported it to I can't remember where the UFO database, whatever you call it.
MUFON?
I can't remember what it's called.
I think you report your UFO sightings to MUFON. There's usually like a regional branch somewhere close to you.
Oh. Well, we should volunteer.
We should.
At our local branch. Melissa, are you coming to AlienCon?
No,
that's a long way.
I don't think I can make it. It's all the way across the country.
That's a long way.
That is. It is a long way.
I'll be honest. I was thinking about it, but I don't think I can make it this year.
Well, one day we'll do an AlienCon maybe in Florida. I don't know. Does AlienCon travel around, or is it the same place every year?
I feel like it's just. I don't know.
I think it was Pasadena last year as well.
Same. Okay.
But WrestleMania likes to come through Florida all the time, and I love WrestleMania, so only a matter of time before it's back in Orange County there.
All right, awesome. Well, yeah, when it comes back, we'll hang out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for calling in and sharing some time with us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Love the story.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We love all stories about UFOs, and that one sounds pretty cool, so thanks for sharing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, Melissa, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Melissa. Super cool UFO story. We love hearing about any unexplained sightings. They're always cool, no matter what they end up being in the end. Our next caller is Allison from Phoenix. with a couple stories, one about a Ouija board and one about her sleep paralysis. Always terrifying.
I'm Allison from Phoenix, born a couple of days after Phoenix Lights, and I think the aliens dropped me off, waiting for them to bring you back. And I'll start off with the Ouija board one.
Oh.
Okay.
Because the sleep paralysis is a little creepier.
Have you heard our have you listened to our Ouija board experience?
I listened to all of them.
So yours is going to be a lot scarier than ours, I'm guessing.
Well, things happened.
Okay. All right. Tell your story.
You know, shut up now. There's no way. No one was as scared as, I don't think anyone in the world's ever been as scared as Andrew was when we did the first one.
Yeah, from the Haunted podcast today, I could tell he's a little scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can say little bitch. It's fine. That's what you're going with.
Call him a little bitch.
No.
Yeah.
No. So I was like 10, I want to say. And I was with my best friend. And we would do this thing where we'd go into my mom's room, because it was just bigger, and we always hung out in there for some reason when my mom was downstairs doing something. And we made a Ouija board with paper, and we used scotch tape as like the planchette thing. And I don't know why it worked, but it didn't move, but the thing happened afterwards. So I guess we just believed and it worked. I don't know. But we were asking it questions and stuff. Nothing happened. You know, like, we were, like, messing around, and, like, she was moving it, I was moving it. We didn't close it. So what else we do, we turn off the lights, and we sit in the dark. And we're on the bed. And we went to get milkshakes before. So I had a milkshake on the dresser. And so it's dark. The door's locked. We're just sitting there because we like to scare ourselves like that. And we hear a thump. And we're like, what was that? Like, we thought it was somebody downstairs. Like, I don't know. It was weird. And then we turn on the lights. My milkshake is all over the ground. It's all over the bathroom mirror and behind the door. The door was like cracked open a little. It wasn't even open all the way.
What a wasteful ghost.
It was, I don't know. And my friend remembers it too. I just messaged her today. We hadn't talked about it since then.
So wait, you had a milkshake in your room?
It was in the room, it was on the dresser.
And then the door was barely opened, and then it was gone and in the bathroom.
So the door to the room was locked. There's a bathroom in the room. That door was barely open.
Oh, I see. Oh, shit.
So I cleaned it up. So it was there.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it was like a warning, because nothing else happened after that. We didn't close it. We threw it away.
Well, we've talked about it before, where it seems like little kids and stuff have like, it's almost like the veil's thin for them, or they're easily like reached.
True. I see that.
It could be you're just more perceptive to it as a child.
Yeah,
I got a question, because you guys said you played the Ouija board but nothing happened while you played. Who were you trying to summon or talk to?
I don't know anyone. I didn't really know anyone who was dead, so
you're just opening the board to whatever
I
you could find.
We opened it, yeah, but we didn't close it. We threw it away, so I guess it's somewhere else.
Shit. Has there been anything else reoccur after that, or is this the one time?
No, that was my old house, so nothing happened over there again. But she remembers it. I remember it. Really weird.
Oh, that is super creepy. I don't know. You hear tons of creepy Ouija board stories, but.
Yeah, but it still makes me skeptical. Like, I'm still not there.
Yeah, because you didn't see it happen. You just seen like the after effect of
exactly. And
something.
It was I wouldn't put a freaking milkshake on like the side of the dresser where it falls off, especially because it's my mom's room and I would die.
Right.
So, yeah, there's that.
Goddamn ghosts spilling milkshakes. All right, and now for Allison's terrifying shadow person encounter.
I was 10 then. So we were at my boyfriend's mom's house. We were staying there for like a month. And I would do my makeup and I'd like hear stuff. But like I just thought it was like, you know, like the fridge, how it makes noise when it makes ice and stuff. I always think that, but then I like hear things. And I think it's his mom, but his mom's not even there. I don't know. Weird. And then so I wasn't completely convinced because I don't know. I like to be a skeptic / wanna believer. And so one night it was my boyfriend left for work like early in the morning and I'm like, you know, half asleep, going back to sleep. And then I wake up again and like it's dark, but like I see some type of figure at the end of my bed. And it like manifested into like something that like really terrifies me. I don't know why, but it reminded me of that. You know, have you guys seen Insidious?
Yeah.
Like the very first one?
When it first came out, yeah.
Yeah.
The very first one, that dude that looks like Darth Maul. I don't know why it manifested into that, but his hair was like moving. I wasn't dreaming. Like I was awake. I was like blinking and my heart was beating so fast and I'm like breathing. Like out of control. It was the most terrifying thing. Like I'm just blinking because I want to see if it goes away and it's just staring at me. And then I'm like, I finally like kind of wake up because it's like between that where you're sleeping but also you don't know. I don't know, have you ever had that?
Yeah, kind of like the twilight, like kind of like between dream, like awake and dreaming.
It's yeah,
like, well you're like in between a conscious state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between like a conscious unconscious. So
that's exactly what it was.
I've read stuff where it's like you see like you're seeing into other realms and things you can't see when you're fully conscious. Oh, that's so creepy.
And it was not friendly at all. Like I'm like pretty good on like picking up energies and that stuff, like with people and anything, but like that energy was horrible. And I never even spoken a word about, you know, the ghost thing in that house because I know that house is haunted. But my boyfriend's mom's boyfriend has a kid who's 12 and she was telling them that the house is haunted. I never even talked to her about it. And one night they heard like the loudest bang on the outside wall. And the dad, my boyfriend's mom's boyfriend, you know, he goes outside with a gun, like fast, because this is Arizona. And no one's there. And it's like loud. Like it sounds like someone's like banging on it with like so much force. I don't know. But that shit's fucking haunted. I haven't
terrifying.
Stayed there since. Yeah, I don't want to. That was, it yeah, followed nope. me home.
Too. Followed you home?
Like back to my parents' house because we stayed there for a month and I live with my parents right now. And so I had another sleep paralysis thing, but it was like still kind of a figure, but I was like, I don't know. And then I realized it wasn't, but like I still felt that fear. There's, I don't know, nothing else has happened since then. It was that within like 2 weeks of each other.
Crazy.
We used to, my parents' house is 100%, it's like, honestly, my parents' house is built on some sort of like ancient Indian burial ground. And like, there's phantom footsteps all the time. And like, you would be downstairs and they have like hardwood. So you'd hear the creaking as if someone's walking across the floor upstairs. And me and my brother used to always be like, who's home? And we'd run upstairs and there's no one. And we just freak the fuck out all the time.
Oh, that's wild.
He still lives there. I should message him and ask. I'm going to ask him if it's still haunted.
Yeah, he still lives at home.
I do too.
Nothing wrong with that. Saving money.
Yeah, but you're young. You're much younger than them.
Oh.
Than Mr. Conspiracy.
Than Mr. Conspiracy, yeah. He's got a couple years on you.
Oh, no.
He's got 4 or 5. Yeah.
Well, I'm the one who keeps asking for the Skinwalker stories, by the way.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, we've only told one of them so far. They're too scary.
Because I'm all about it. because there's a long stretch of road between my house and my boyfriend's mom's house, and it's just like desert, and I keep thinking I'm gonna see something there.
Keep looking.
Yeah, I hope I don't, but I also do.
Yeah, it'd be terrifying.
They're out there. This is the perfect place for them.
Thanks, Allison, for sharing those stories. Our next caller is Brian from Gilbert, Arizona. I guess just outside of Phoenix. Maybe you guys know each other. Probably not. It's a little bigger than Canada. He's calling in today telling us about some strange paranormal activity that's happening in his house.
My name's Brian. I'm from Gilbert, Arizona, which is just outside of Phoenix. So this year, somewhere in like January, maybe February-ish, my son woke up at like 1:30 in the morning screaming, like just murderous screaming, like screaming I have not heard from him before. And just for backstory, I don't let my kids watch anything scary. You know, they only watch cartoons and the easy stuff like Pokemon. So it's not something where I would attribute it to a nightmare. And so I go in there and, you know, I'm like, hey, what's going on, buddy? What's wrong? And he's like, he said that there was a dark shape and it tried to touch him. And I've never seen him as scared as he was. Like, he was so, so scared. Like, I've never seen that in him. And like, he gets scared with things, you know, like scared to jump off into the water and swim and stuff like that. And you know, normal kid scared stuff. This was like just terror. And I'm real big on dreams. You know, I never tell my kids, oh, it's just a dream, forget it. Because, you know, I have weird dreams and I always try to learn something from my dreams when I have a dream. And that's what I try to teach them. It's like, well, what can you learn from this? And he's like, no, Dad, it wasn't a dream. It was here. So I couldn't get him to, you know, lay back down and go to sleep. And I was about ready to head to bed myself. So I went and got some of my stones. I have a bunch of different little, you know, crystals and stones and stuff that I keep mostly for decoration. I don't put any stock into the whole hippie, ooh, this is for healing and this is for that. I keep them around more for decoration. But I know what their properties are too, because I go to those places and I see what they are when I buy them. And so I had three of them. I had a malachite stone, which is supposed to be like armor and protection for your dreams. Obsidian, which is supposed to take away negative energy. And I can't remember what the third one was. Oh, well. Anyway, I gave him the three stones and I told them what each of them would do. And I said, these will help you sleep. And finally, he kind of calmed down and he closed his eyes and, you know, just pet his head for a while. And then left the room, shut off the lights. Then I went to bed. And so I laid down. I'm starting to shake just thinking about this part. I went down to lay down and I went to sleep. And I was, you know, just kind of thinking about it. And I was like, dude, I've never seen him like that before. I closed my eyes and went to sleep. And sometime about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember what time it was, I hadn't been asleep very long, I heard this bang. Like, you know when someone's messing with you and they just slam their fist on the door?
Yep.
That's what I heard. It was like just this loud boom. And everyone in the house is asleep. No one else, there was no one that would have done that. I have two cats, but I don't think there was anything they could have done that would have made that noise that loud.
Without evidence. of it, like, yeah, laying on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something, you know, something falling or something like that. There was nothing like that. And it was so loud that I thought my wife would have woke up from it, you know, like, but I turned my head and I looked and she was fast asleep. My eyes are wide open. But when I tried to move, like to jump up, because that's really what I wanted to do, because the noise was so loud, I found that I wasn't moving. I was laying there and my arms wouldn't move and my legs wouldn't move. I really could only move my head. And then I looked up and we have one of those glowing kind of like, it changes colors, lights, like nightlight thing that she keeps by her nightstand. So it changes from blue to red and stuff like that. And that's the only light in the room. The rest of the room is dark because we have those real black curtains on the walls. So really you can only see light, the glowing blue-ish color on the rooftop. And when I looked up on the roof, there was a shadow above my roof.
Oh, shit.
Right there in the ceiling, like right there in front of me. And I just, terror filled my heart. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I closed my eyes and I just started chanting. I was like, please, please go away. Please go away. Something. And I was like, Jesus, Buddha, Tom Cruise, something, make this go away. And I just kept my eyes closed. I didn't want to open them again and look at it. And you could, how do you explain? Like, you could feel it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't touching me, but I could feel it in the room. Like I could feel the energy in the room. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't feel it anymore. And when I couldn't feel it anymore, I found that I could move again. And when I opened my eyes, it was gone.
Holy fuck.
So the next morning, I went to my son and I said, son, I think there was something in this house. And we are going to do a cleansing of this house. Now, I mentioned in the email that I sent you that, you know, I'm a massage therapist by trade. I'm also a Reiki master. So I know a little bit about energy work and stuff like that. What I did is I showed him how to draw protective symbols on the walls in the house with your fingertips. And then we use sage throughout the house, which is sage is supposed to cleanse evil spirits. That's what it's been used for countless ages.
Right.
Sage is your go-to thing. When you guys do your Ouija board stuff, you should have some sage with you. And then the last thing I did is I put salt on all the windows and the doors because salt is supposed to ward away evil spirits. And we haven't had an issue since, and he's felt a lot more comfortable because I did it for him, but I also did it for me because I was terrified from that moment and I didn't want anything like that to happen again. You know, I did all those things. Put the signs up on the walls, sage the house, salt through the doors, and then we just talked about, you know, how some things can be real and some things can't. And you know, I can't really. I don't know how to teach him this stuff. I don't know. I don't know what to say to him to really make him feel better about it, other than that he can protect himself.
Holy shit, man.
I've had my own kind of like shadow. You probably heard it. I talked about it before. Like
in my have.
That shit like creeps me the fuck out because like I've seen something. I've seen something that like the fear that instilled in me that day, like when I had a moment of realization that was no one from of my family. I was like, I'll never forget that. So like whenever people talk about that, I'm always like, oh shit. Creeps me out.
Yes. Yeah, see, the only other time I had something similar to that is when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I know it was 8 or 9 because my brother was already born and walking, and we're 6 years apart. I woke up in my room, and our doors are always open in my house that I grew up in. So my mom's door was open and my door was open, and I could see my mom's bedroom. But I saw someone that I thought was my mother walk out of the bedroom and walk down the hall. So I got up and went to go see, you know, where she was going. And when I walked down the hall, when I walked into the hall, there was no one there. And then when I turned around, I looked, my mother was still in her bed. And that scared me back then when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I ran and jumped into my bed and hid it under covers. And I started screaming, "Mom, Mom." But I never saw anything else like that after that. And so I was like, okay, well, I saw that was my one ghost story. And then sure enough, this year I've had my second.
Crazy, man.
Yes. Terrifying. I hate, man. I hate anything to do with when people are. We've had a lot of sleep paralysis stuff tonight. A lot of people telling sleep paralysis stories.
Yeah, and like crazy ones.
That was all you know, completely new to me. I've never had it where I felt like I couldn't move. That was probably the scarier part of it than seeing it. Like seeing it, I'd be like, okay, I just saw something weird. My mind's playing tricks on me. But not being able to move, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's just insane. So what's your theory on like these like sleep paralysis and shadow people and all that?
As far as theories, I got nothing. I have this odd kind of thought that goes through my head where I feel that you guys are familiar with the multiverse theory. Are you also familiar with like the fictional multiverse theory?
Well, they're all theoretical at the moment anyway, I guess. So what's that other one?
Well, the fictional one is like where everything exists, you know, because if you think about every possible outcome of every single thing that can happen. So in the fictional one, that's where, you know, the Jedi exist. Your Marvel characters exist. That Transformers movie that you hate, Brayden, exists. And, you know, I kind of lean towards everything exists and it's all just shifting. We're catching glimpses of different dimensions is pretty much where my train of thought is.
Yeah. I like that avenue of thinking.
I lean towards that is that is that every once in a while your brain rewires or you're in the right ley line spot or the moon and sun are just right. And you're catching glimpses of these other places.
Yeah,
that's what would be my best guess.
Yeah, that's always kind of been my theory too. It's just like we only perceive the universe on like say 1% of the spectrum, and the rest of it is out there. And sometimes they kind of bump into each other. I've always kind of tried to think about it that way. It makes a little more sense rather than saying like, oh, it's just a ghost or something. No, there's got to be something more to it.
On the positive note, the way I like to think of it is that somewhere in another universe, I'm a Jedi, and that is awesome.
That would be pretty fucking cool. All right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling in. Sounds like you have some paranormal activation going on with your house or something around you. Super weird. All right. Our next caller is Angelica, and she's calling in and giving us the full rundown of the Paul McCartney is dead conspiracy, that he actually died back in the 60s and he was replaced with a body double and the Beatles just continued on like nothing ever happened. Now, no matter what you think of this conspiracy, you don't believe it, you believe it. She has her points really well together and it's fun to listen to either way. Enjoy.
Hello.
This is Angelica.
Hello.
Yeah, that is me.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Cool, cool, cool. So,
where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah. Are you like the Blue Jackets?
Blue Jackets, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of funny. Yeah, I'm from, well, I'm actually from Northeast Ohio, but I'm currently a student at Ohio State University, so I'm in Columbus right now.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, like, I just got to give a quick shout out to my mom, because my mom is the one that got me into your guys' show, and we love to listen to you guys together, so.
Oh, awesome. Shout out to your mom.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. Shout out to your mom. What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Lisa, yeah. Lisa.
Oh, she's going to think this is so cool. So real quick, I got to give a quick disclaimer about what I'm going to be talking about, because it's a celebrity conspiracy. A great deal of speculation has gone into it. A lot of people, the points I'm going to be bringing up, a lot of people probably believe that they're complete bullshit and that they were just made up to kind of perpetuate this conspiracy for as it's been going on. And, you know, all I got to say about that is hashtag look it up, believe whatever you want, and end of the day.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right, okay. Sure. So should I just get started?
Yeah, go right into it.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. Let's get into it.
So I'm going to be talking about the Paul is Dead conspiracy. And this is, of course, the conspiracy, urban legend, what have you, that Paul McCartney, first the Quarrymen, but probably most notably the Beatles, died in a car accident in November of 1966 and was replaced by a lookalike in a massive cover-up by the UK's MI5 agency. So I'm kind of getting into the history, the backstory. The conspiracy itself started in September of 1969 after Iowa's Drake University student newspaper published an article addressing rumors on campus that there were hidden messages in the Beatles' music, most notably the White Album song Revolution No. 9. And from there, we can assume that the conspiracy took off like wildfire, because the next month, the Beatles press officer had to address rumors directly reporting that, because disc jockeys were calling them 24/7 trying to figure out if it was true or not. And they were getting so many letters from concerned fans that they had to figure it out. And Paul McCartney himself actually addressed it on the 21st of October, like a month later after it all kind of sparked, on the cover of Life magazine, assuring the world that he was in fact alive. So in like a month's time span in the late 1960s, this took off like wildfire. It's kind of crazy. And then this is when a lot of people decided to drop the conspiracy. People were like, oh, he's alive, whatever. But now, I mean, looking back, it's 2018. We know that there's cover-ups all the time. So you never know. Still kind of curious. So kind of getting into the alleged car accident, McCartney was allegedly driving on the road, and this was on November 9th, 1966. And he had reportedly just been at the recording studio with his fellow Beatles, and they got into a large argument, supposedly over song lyrics, something like that. And he got into an altercation with somebody, and he decided to leave. So at this point, he angrily drives off in his white Austin Healey, and in a fit of rage, something happens. He crashes his car and dies, allegedly. So in the aftermath of this, the MI5 agency was then dispatched because of the high-profile nature of the case. MI5 concluded that McCartney's death would cause mass suicides if made public to the world, because at this point, the Beatles were reaching the height of their popularity. I mean, this is late 1960s. Beatlemania was crazy. So they concluded that they would simply just replace Paul in the band with a double, and this would be a Canadian man named William Campbell, and he had won a McCartney lookalike contest that was sponsored by the United States teenage magazine Tiger Beat and Dick Clark's Bandstand. So after some plastic surgery, just some minor plastic surgery, just to like get him as close to the normal Paul as they possibly could, they'd throw him in there with the Beatles for all of the press and all the concerts, what have you. And there was like apparently an inside joke in the band, and they nicknamed him Fall, or false or fake Paul, but it was shortened to Fall, just to, I don't know, logistics. And the surgery that was done on Fall, this was apparently surgery to the upper lip, eyebrows, chin, and he went through speech therapy to get their amazing Liverpool accent. So kind of getting into like the actual like the art and all the clues that people have been picking up like over the past 50 years, like so many have come up. The Beatles apparently chose to put clues on their cover art and their music because they were kind of internally frustrated with what they had done. Their choice to fool the world, it made them feel guilty, and they were supposedly being held by MI5 in this type of agreement that if one of them said something or kind of gave away the secret, that they would be killed. So this is kind of like their creative outlet for that. So there's like so many examples. I'm going to try to get into as many as I can, but I'm going to start with the music first. So as I mentioned, the White Album's Revolution number 9, if you play it backwards, like back scrubbing, it says, "Turn me on, dead man, turn me on, dead man." This is kind of referencing how Paul was John's creative muse, and with him gone, like, "Turn me on, dead man," like, wants his muse back. Also on the White Album, "I'm So Tired," John is speaking some clear gibberish in this. It's kind of like known for that song that he's speaking gibberish. And at the end, like all this, if you play it backwards, it sounds like Paul is a dead man. Miss him, miss him, miss him. Just different things like that. The back scrubbing, it's just very interesting. The song "Nowhere Man," Paul is supposed to be the nowhere man sitting in a nowhere land, blah, blah, blah. Like, that is all about Paul. The song "Girl" was about Paul's then girlfriend, Jane Asher, and this was his girlfriend before he allegedly died. And the lyrics in the song kind of reference, "Will she still believe when he's still believe it when he's dead?" Just different things like that. The song "I'm Looking Through You," this is apparently John Lennon, like, talking about how fake Paul, like false Paul, how fake he is and how we can see right through it. And like, it's kind of crazy how fake he is. This is also the point in time where they started to opt more for a psychedelic sound because it helped distract people from like the change in Paul's tone of voice. This is also when Harrison himself started to write more music because the actual Paul was not around anymore. They didn't have the creative juice that Paul McCartney seemed to have. So Harrison kind of stepped in, kind of referring to the song "Taxman," the lyrics, "If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you get too cold, I'll tax the heat." They are yelling during these specific lyrics, they're yelling what sounds like Paul, like in the background, kind of addressing like, "Oh, he was driving a car, Paul, like, and now he's too cold, he's dead, like Paul, Paul, Paul." So there's that. Eleanor Rigby, obviously you could assume it's about Paul's funeral. Those lyrics are kind of famous. Yesterday and Today songs, like when you look at them on the back of the album cover itself, like the order they are in, they are kind of telling the story of mourning and the struggles that the Beatles are going through now that Paul is gone, just the way the album cover is kind of in order. The song "Getting Better" on Sgt. Pepper's, if you back scrub it, it literally says Paul is dead, he lost his hair, his head. This is referencing that he was most likely decapitated in the car accident. And at the end of the song "Strawberry Fields Forever," there's a certain section where John Lennon's voice is distorted, and it sounds, what the conspiracy is, that he is here saying, "I buried Paul," but John quickly came out and disputed that, said it was cranberry sauce or something, but he had to dispute that. So kind of getting it now more into the cover art. They use distortion lenses on Rubber Soul, the cover Rubber Soul, to kind of hide the balls, like the swollenness in his face from the plastic surgery. On the back of Rubber Soul, he's the only one smoking a cigarette, even though they were all smokers. And at the time, cigarettes were kind of termed like coffin nails because they, I don't know, I guess they looked like them. I don't know. That's the conspiracy. The Nowhere Man, the single, for like the single like record, the album cover, Paul is looking in different direction than the rest of the Beatles, and his right eye appears swollen, and this can be like seen from any Google image. Beatles opt for drawings on the cover of Revolver. This kind of helps keep Paul out of the pictures. And Paul is once again the only one looking away. An open palm is over his head, symbolizing a priest's blessing of a body. Yesterday and Today's album cover was initially like Butchered Baby Dolls. I don't know for sure if this actually ended up being it, but like it's kind of pointing at Paul's accident. And the cover art was then changed to, I think the actual release of it was like the Beatles together with Paul inside a trunk. This kind of represents a casket. And actually, when you turn it over on its side, it actually looks like he's sitting in a casket. So Sgt. Pepper's is like the biggest one. And they all kind of grew beards for this, kind of distract again, like from Paul's like surgery scars. And the cover itself is a funeral scene. It's a really busy cover. The ground is freshly dug. This is kind of referencing a grave. If you mirror Lonely Heart, like this is on the cover of the bass drum on the Lonely Heart Club record. If you mirror it, it says 119, he died. This is referencing November 9th, the day he died. Three strings on the flower guitar on the ground signifying the three remaining Beatles. Once again, you see the use of an open palm over Paul's head. This is signifying, once again, the blessing of a body. And on the back cover, Falls once again, the only one facing away. And another big one would be the cover of Abbey Road. This is, of course, supposed to be a funeral procession. John, he's wearing pure white. This is supposed to be Jesus, representative of Jesus, or a pastor. Ringo is a pallbearer. George is a gravedigger wearing like all denim. And of course, Paul Fall is the corpse. His eyes are closed. He's barefoot and he's holding a cigarette or his own coffin nail. He's also on different footing than the rest of the Beatles to kind of signify also that he's in another life potentially. The license plate on the Beatle car in the background says 28 if. He'd be 28 if he were still alive as of like the next year, like he would have been 28. And then there's the black police van in the background. This is kind of playing that MI5 and that they were watching them, forcing them to continue to make music, things like that. And then on Magical Mystery Tour, if you hold the album upside down, there's, of course, holding it right side up, it says Beatles in all capital letters. But if you flip it upside down, it allegedly spells out the numbers 537-148. And if you call this number, it would apparently direct to a funeral home. And there is an image on the back of Paul being decapitated at one point. So those are like the big main examples that I found and that I found the most interesting. There's probably so many countless more that you could come up with, but those were the ones I thought that were worth mentioning. Kind of getting into the documentary. A documentary came out in 2005. Many people, like some people describe it as a mockumentary. To me, it actually really doesn't matter. It's called Paul McCartney Really Is Dead, The Final Testament of George Harrison. It's allegedly tapes that George Harrison made before he died, kind of confessing this all to the people since now he had nothing to lose. He was going to die. It does sound a lot like George Harrison. At the end of the day, I don't know if it's a joke or not. It's look it up. It's on Amazon. My mom bought it. it's some people believe it's supposed to mock the conspiracy, but it really doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it actually does a really good job of outlining all of the clues and like outlining kind of like the timeline of this conspiracy and how it's progressed throughout the years. Even if it's bullshit, it's really interesting. And then kind of getting into the
Continue.
Okay. And kind of getting into the aftermath of like everything. Obviously, we know that John Lennon comes to America. He moves here. This is supposed to be kind of his way of trying to get out of like being on the grip of MI5. Like they're putting, he's allegedly like kind of breaking out because while all this is going on, like all the clues, like this was all what John wanted. Like he was the one that was mainly pushing for like the clues and like wanted to tell the world through clues that this was all going on. So MI5 was really putting a lot of pressure on him specifically. So that's part of the reason why he came to America. And of course we know that he is eventually murdered outside his New York City apartment on December 8th, 1980. And of course there's always been conspiracies about this. I mean, make of it as you will. Of course, in the context of the Paul's Dead conspiracy, one could argue that MI5 was behind it all and they had some assailant shoot him dead because he was going to go public with this. He had wanted to go public. And then, of course, we know that George Harrison is attacked in his home on December 30th, 1999, and he is almost stabbed to death. One could argue he was going to do the same thing. But, of course, we know that George Harrison eventually dies in November of 2001 of brain and lung cancer. So it's kind of crazy. Like this conspiracy is going to be like 50 years old. It's like, so it started in September 1969. So next year it's going to be 50 years old. I think that's the right math. It's still mentioned today in popular culture. It's so weird because I'll like watch a random movie. Like I remember one time I was watching Sleeping in Seattle and the little boy, like Tom Hanks's son in the movie was like, "Oh look, daddy, if you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead." And like on a Rick and Morty episode that came out last year, they mentioned Paul is dead. So I just think, even if it's all complete bullshit, it's likely all complete bullshit. But I think it's just funny. Like, it's still, like, awesome that it's still going around. Like, people are still pushing it.
Well, I'll make an argument to your point that if you think about how many pop culture jokes there was about Kevin Spacey being, like, sexually assaulting people. And then all of a sudden it comes out last year that, oh, he actually does that shit all the time. And like it's been just kind of like a hidden joke in things for years, so maybe they're hinting at it in pop culture because it's true. But first off, I gotta applaud the prep work.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, really?
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
More prep work than we do.
Oh, I'm a college
from
student.
From a Starcase class.
Hell yeah, that was awesome.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Is your adrenaline going?
Yeah.
Okay. I get this weird thing, and I don't get it when I do the podcast, but like I can get up on a stage, I can sing karaoke, I can make a fool of myself in front of a room full of people. But anytime there's a radio contest on the radio, and it's like, okay, we'll take caller number 3. And I call, my fucking heart beats out of my chest. It's like an adrenaline rush. And like even when he like calls, he goes, oh, hello, you're caller number 4. And I go, okay, thanks. I'm like, I get just like an unbelievable like adrenaline rush from that.
Yeah.
And then listening to you talk, I could kind of tell that you're drunk going. I'm like, I never thought of that. I wonder if people get that calling to talk to us.
Get nervous?
I mean, I get that just calling the radio guy. Yeah.
Also,
it's so like, weird.
I'm like nervous. I stutter a lot. So I was also like nervous. Oh, like, am I just like, going to stop talking and like forget what I'm talking about? That'll be really bad. So.
No, it's good. But here's why I personally hate this theory.
It's okay. I don't take it personally. It's fine.
My biggest issue with it is the Beatles were fucking huge.
Yeah.
Super talented. Paul McCartney, arguably one of the best Beatles.
Yeah.
Even let's say pre 1966, arguably one of the best Beatles writing all their songs.
Yeah.
It's one thing to look like Paul McCartney. It's another thing to write music and be as talented as Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm always like, you're going to tell me that Paul died. They find this guy at a lookalike contest who's a dead shot ringer. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, oh, that's Paul McCartney. There's not a fucking chance that guy's as talented as Paul McCartney. Never. Like, maybe you can teach him to sing, but you're not going to be able to teach him to write music. You're not going to teach him. And for him to then this guy who steps in for Paul McCartney goes on to have one of arguably the greatest music careers in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there, that's too much for me. I'm like, no. I'm like, if that guy was as good as Paul when he was in Canada, he would be Paul. He would be bigger than Paul was then, yeah. Right? They'd be like, oh, we got this Canadian guy that looks like Paul McCartney. Fuck, he's writing some incredible music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That part for me, that's what kills it. Because I'm like, he was too talented of a guy for them to just be like, we got a dead shot ringer. Holy fuck, this guy can write music too. He can write Beatles songs, and then the Beatles get better with this new guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's where, like, for me, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
Here's
one thing that I didn't mention, but they mentioned in the documentary. I wasn't sure if it was worth mentioning, but apparently before Paul had allegedly died, him and John Lennon had actually written so much music that it would have lasted like the Beatles a substantial career. So apparently like he had a lot of music even like going forward, like even to like their most late albums. Apparently they had that much music written because they were just so good together. Like they were both each other's muses. They got along so well in that respect. I mean, they had different things that they wanted apparently, but they wrote music very well together. So apparently they wrote a lot in that time, and that's people's explanation for that. And then, yeah.
But Paul still writes music. That's the thing, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Paul still writes music. He's had an incredible solo career.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, like I could see, maybe they had a bank of songs that they wrote together, but you're not going to tell me that they wrote 50 years of music.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
right.
No, you're
with instrumentals and stuff. Like, I'm like, it's just too much. The guy's too talented. And I'm like, I never get that. Like, he dies. Like, if he dies, I don't care what year it is. Like, so whoever gets the car crash first, right? There's a car crash. Someone calls it in,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to have ambulances. You're going to have doctors. You're going to have all this. You're going to have all these people that need to keep their fucking mouth shut. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then right there, MI5 or MI whatever comes in and they're like, oh, no, you can't tell anyone. This mm-hmm. is Paul McCartney.
I always thought that was funny because it was like, it just, I don't know. It's just like, they thought they were that big that everyone was going to kill themselves. But that was like a funny point that people always bring up about that, I think. One thing that they mentioned in the documentary was that the song, there was a woman named Rita that saw that it was Paul McCartney. That's where Lovely Rita comes in. So it wasn't like nobody else knew about it. And it was, I don't know. It was just, yeah.
Well, you think people fucking blab, right? Like I just think it's too much. There would have to be, it's one of those ones where too many people have to be involved, and they would be the luckiest guys in the world to find this guy who's Paul's age, a dead ringer. And he's unbelievably talented. Arguably, I would say if Paul did die, new Paul is more talented than old Paul.
That's true.
What are the odds of that? A guy who looks exactly the same and he's more talented.
Honestly, whoever it is that's Paul, honestly, who's still with us today, like, he's great. Like, he honestly does so much social activism. I was like, not trying to slander anybody, I just always think this is conspiracy's funny. My friends always make fun of me when I talk about it. I just think it's great. Just funny. I don't know.
Right.
It's been around for absolutely forever.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I feel like it's kind of spawned like a trend. Like, I feel like there's a conspiracy theory that, and this is true, there is a conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne died and was replaced. There's a conspiracy theory that Kylie Jenner died and was replaced. So,
all right, I got to jump in here, because we got a couple people waiting, but there's definitely, I'll say one thing about this conspiracy. Obviously, there's lots of things that add up or people connected, and it's really cool. But at the same time, this new Paul McCartney has been Paul McCartney twice as long as the old Paul McCartney. Just like Braden said, his musical career is 12 times as long. Like, he's just, mm-hmm. I could see this happening back in when it happened in the 60s, like, people could get on board really easy, 'cause like, information was not widely known. But over the years and years, I think, like, when someone's on their deathbed, you think that's when they spill it. Like, George Harrison, he's fucking dying of cancer. Like, really spill it then, if it is. But yeah, you came in super prepared. It's really cool. And like, if nothing else, it is a cool theory. Like, putting all that stuff together, is that's the fun part, right?
And it is funny. We did just talk about it on a podcast that hasn't been released yet for Patreon listeners.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Dan and I talked about it a little bit.
Awesome.
Okay, real quick, shameless plug. You guys, I don't know if you did it. I mean, I've listened to like all your episodes to this point, but I don't remember this. If you got, you guys should totally do Georgia Guidestones if you haven't already. I feel like that's right up your guys' alley.
Ooh. Yeah, those are super cool, for sure.
Georgia Guidestones. We'll have to. Awesome. We'll put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
Awesome.
Thanks, Angelica.
Thanks, Angelica.
Yep.
We'll
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Cool beans.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Angelica. That was so well put together. It was a real treat to listen to, and it was fun talking with you. All right. Our next caller is Kai from California. And he is calling in with a UFO story. Always cool.
Okay, so my name's Kai, and I live in California. I live on the coast of California, kind of near San Francisco, I guess.
Awesome.
And so the UFO story is from about like 3 years ago. I have a friend that used to live with me, and I was at my house, and he was on his way over, and he was going to pick me up, and we were just going to kind of drive around. And where I live is it's a small town, 2,000 people. We're about 45 minutes away from like any big cities or any bigger towns. So there's not a whole lot to do around here. So we were just going to drive around, you know, kind of talk and just see what's going on. So he called me a couple times to let me know he was outside. And I didn't answer because I was just getting ready to run out there. And he kept calling me, which I thought was weird. And then I checked and there was a text message, and he was like, dude, get the fuck out here. Like, you got to see what's going on in the sky. So as soon as I saw that, I ran out there, and I ran out, and he was just standing by his car. And I was like, what is it? Like, what's going on? He was like, oh, you missed it. And I was like, well, what was it? And it's kind of hard, you know, when somebody tells you that they just saw something crazy, like, it's hard to relate if you didn't see it. So he told me what happened, but it was hard for me to really, you know, take it too seriously or be that amazed by it, because I wasn't there watching it. But basically what he said happened was he was standing outside of his car smoking a cigarette, and he was looking up into the sky, and he saw a star that just kind of looked a little off, like it was just shining a little bit brighter and a little bit just sparkling, just kind of a different way. And he started to focus on it. And as soon as his mind kind of fully focused on this star, and he like really like pinpointed it, and his body was kind of like conscious of the star acting a little bit weird, it just started to move across the sky until it was gone. But it had been totally still right before that point. So he was telling me that, and I didn't think that it was like that crazy. I just thought maybe it was a satellite, or maybe it had been moving before and then it stopped and then was moving again. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of weird stuff up there that aren't necessarily UFOs, like satellites and stuff. So
he told me that. Tons of weird shit.
Yeah. So he told me that, and I didn't think much of it. So we were driving around and we stopped at this place that we like to hang out and smoke cigarettes and talk and stuff. So we were just chilling, and we were looking up at the sky. And he was like, okay, dude, like, look at that star. Like, you see that star? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, doesn't it look a little bit weird to you? And I was like, I mean, I guess so. It's definitely pretty bright, but like, it could be a planet or, you know, a satellite. He's like, okay, just try. Let's just try. So just focus on that star and like put it in your mind and just like try to like tell that star that you're aware that it looks a little bit weird. So I did that. And literally the second that I did that, it started to move. And it started to move across the sky. So then his story became a lot more real. And I was like, holy shit, that's pretty fucking weird. You know, that like, what are the odds that that would happen again? Like only within the hour of you telling me that it just happened to you. So we went back down to my house and we were hanging out on the deck, and my mom came out and we were talking about it. And she's like, oh, what are you guys talking about? So we told her what had just happened. She's like, huh, that's like super crazy coincidence. And we're like, okay, let's see if we can do it again. Like, let's try to will it into existence again. So we all look up into the sky. So now it's like three people at this point. And we're looking up in the sky and we see another star that was shining just a little bit off. It was a little too bright, and just, you know, it just didn't look like it fit with all the other stars. So we're like, okay, mom, like, look at the star and focus on it and like put it in your mind that you're watching this star. So we all did that. And sure enough, this fucking star just started to move. The second we kind of like put it in our mind that we saw this star, like kind of told it, we're like, okay, we see you. You're looking a little bit weird. It just started moving across the sky. Weird. So there was like a 2-week period where we were seeing these stars, where we'd see these stars and we'd sit there and look at them and focus on them, and they'd start to move. And we didn't have like the chance to like show other people just because of the timing, but we did get to show my mom, and she saw it too. But for just me and my friend, this happened for about 2 weeks, where I'd either be, you know, driving along the road or just walking outside at night to grab something, and I'd look up in the sky and there'd be a star. And I'd be like, that one looks like one of those things. And then I'd look at it, and it took about like 20 seconds or 30 seconds to focus on it. And then it would start to move. So after that 2-week period of that happening, it kind of fizzled out where we didn't see as many of them. And then there was this one night where it got really strange, and it almost like it, we didn't really know what to think about them. But then there was this one night where it kind of like hit us that maybe this wasn't like the best thing. So basically what happened was I was out on this dirt road, and I take a lot of pictures. I'm a photographer. So I was out on this dirt road in the middle of the night, and I was just trying to take some star pictures, and I was leaning against my car, and I had my tripod set out doing a long exposure shot, and I saw one of those stars. I was like, okay, like I'm going to focus on this one. So I was looking at it, and I got like overwhelmed with almost this like really negative feeling, almost like fear, but I didn't like know what I was feeling afraid of, but it just kind of overwhelmed my body. And behind me, there was like a cliff, like a 20-foot cliff that kind of led into the forest. And I heard this kind of crunching, like something moving around up there. And this feeling of fear started getting like way more intense. And I was looking at the star, and the star started to move. And as it started to move, this boulder came tumbling from the woods above me. And I actually had to move out of the way. And it was like probably like a 200 or 300 pound boulder just came tumbling from the woods and flew off the cliff behind me and landed damn near pretty much where I was standing. And then after that, I never saw one of those moving stars again.
Crazy.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It's, so that was.
I think it's funny that you say that you like, you look at it and you're like, you will, you're like, I see you kind of thing. Cause anytime I'm like camping in the woods and I see like, you know, I don't like whatever, a plane or a light that I don't really know what it is, I do that same thing. I like look at it and I like project like the words in my mind. I'm like, I know you're there. I know you're watching me. Keep moving.
Exactly.
Keep moving. I always do that. It's so weird. And then to hear you say that and you're getting kind of success with like willing these things, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool. And in that like one time, like maybe I just looked at a bad one, whatever they were. I looked at kind of like a mean one, an evil one. And he was like, oh, this guy's, you know, looking at me and he's letting me know that he sees me. So I'm going to fuck with him and like throw this rock at him almost.
Weird.
It's no different than giving a guy a stink eye at the bar. Same thing. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I work at the bar.
You want to go, bud?
Drop him.
I learned my lesson from that one.
Stink eye at the bar?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everyone's been there at least a couple times.
What do you got for paranormal?
So, I mean, I don't feel like it's a ghost really, but I guess it kind of just falls in that category. But basically, so I told you I live in this kind of rural area, small town in California, and there's these long, windy roads that you pretty much have to drive over a mountain to get anywhere out of town, and it's like an hour long drive. So this one night, it was probably 3 in the morning. I was driving back home from one of the closer towns about 45 minutes away, and it was really late and I was pretty tired. So I had my windows down and I was blasting my music, trying to not fall asleep at the wheel. And this drive is over a mountain, so they like blasted into the mountain to create the road. So on one side of the road, you kind of have a big ledge, probably 20 to even 25 foot ledge that then just leads into straight forest. And then on the other side of the road, you have a drop off that basically just leads into straight forest as well. And there's like absolutely nothing in between that town and my town. And it's just woods. So I was driving on that road super late at night, And I was pretty tired, and all of a sudden from the right side of the road, so from the 20 to 25 foot ledge, this man in a suit, like a business suit, jumped off of the ledge and landed right in the middle of the road about 15 feet in front of my car. And I slammed on the brakes and I was just stopped in the road with my high beams on this guy. And he curled his body up, you know, like after a big jump. So he kind of curled his body up and fixed his suit and just stared right at me. And he was like, I would have to say like almost 7 feet tall.
Shit. And
he just fixed his suit and then he just walked off the other side of the road and jumped back down into just the forest, into the black woods. And on the whole drive before then and afterwards, I didn't see like a single parked car. There's absolutely nowhere else to be. And I was like maybe halfway through the drive. So that would have had to have been probably 20, 30 miles from the nearest town. So I kind of just like shook it off, you know, then I had like a surge of adrenaline. I just drove home and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't know what to think about it. And I kind of maybe thought that maybe I'd like fallen asleep at the wheel and like maybe none of that really just happened, or it was kind of like a shock to my system. And I didn't tell anybody about it because there was like, I don't know, there was like lots of weird things going on, but I never told anybody that had happened that night. I just brushed it off as just like, you know, maybe I fell asleep at the wheel, or I didn't know really what to think about it. So a couple years had passed since that happened. And I was driving not on the same road, but another road back into town. And there was a hitchhiker on the side of the road, and then it was at night and it was cold and foggy. So I decided I would pick him up, and he was kind of this crazy guy that I'd seen around, and I knew he was harmless, so I didn't mind picking him up, but he was kind of crazy. So I picked him up, and he was just babbling in my passenger seat about, you know, kind of nonsense. And as I was driving, he pauses for a good minute, and I see him out of the corner of my eye looking at me, and it kind of gave me the creep. So I looked back at him. I was like, what's up, man? Like, what's going on? And he just looks at me. He's like, I know that you've seen the guy in the suit.
Damn.
And I was like, what? And it took me a minute. You know, it had been a while since that happened to me. So I didn't like know what he was talking about right away. I was like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, what guy in the suit? What are you talking about? And he's like, I know that you've seen the guy in the suit. And then it hit me that we were talking about, you know, he was talking about that guy. And I was like, I didn't know what the fuck to think about it. I was like, how do you know? Or like, what do you mean? Like, and he was like, cause I've seen him too. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he just didn't say anything else about it after that.
Crazy.
But that was like after I hadn't told anybody about that or anything. And then I just pick up this crazy guy, and like, I know he was talking about the same thing. And he just said that. He's like, I know that you've seen the guy in the suit. And then he said that he's seen him too.
Shit. Did the guy in the suit have a face?
Well, so I had my high beams on. So all of his skin, like his hands, you know, the exposed parts were pretty lit up. So honestly, I couldn't really like make details out in his face. It was pretty bright, but like I couldn't really say if he had a face or not. Like I tried to rationalize it and say, yes, he did have a face, but I can't even tell you if he did or not, really.
Crazy, man. That's pretty insane.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've got creepy.
Yeah, it was super creepy. And there was like, you know, like I've heard the legend of the Slender Man and stuff, and I looked up a lot about that to try to see if there's any correlations. And like, he looks like him, but I'm not going to go as far as saying that it's the Slender Man. But I think that whatever this guy was, he's definitely a variation of a slendery man for sure. And it was creepy. The whole thing was not, you know, there was not good vibes behind it. Like this guy was, whether he was real or paranormal or what, he was up to some, you know, some weird business in the woods out there.
It's weird. Cause I think on 58, I talked about a time where I've seen like a guy in a suit kind of thing walking, and fucking weird. Just gives me the chills thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super creepy. And then I've never seen him again. I like tell now that I talk, you know, I've told people that story, and I like tell people that I'm with about seeing him, and then I'll drive them up on that road and try to will him into existence or something, but I've never seen him again. But there has been some weird stuff on this mountain that I live nearby. I mean, there's been bodies have shown up on the mountain with like no real cause of death, and just all kinds of weird stuff. There's lots of car crashes. So
what's the mountain called?
It's called Mount Tam.
Mount Tam, just outside of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll look it up. Maybe there's some weird going on there.
Yeah. Who knows? I'd be curious to, I've never really looked up the history, but there's some weird history out here. It's like an old logging place kind of where I live. So it goes back into like, yeah, it's just like it's an old logging community kind of around here. And I'm sure that there's all kinds of bizarre energy from back in those days all the way until now, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear the sleep paralysis story, I've been having it for a long time, and I got one pretty good one that happened actually kind of recently.
Maybe just save that one for us, because we got our last caller here, and then we are going to call her in for the night. But those stories are awesome that you gave us there.
Cool. Well, I look forward to hearing this this show.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we'll have it edited up and out sometime. You know how we work. Slowly, but it'll be out.
Yeah. All right. Sweet.
Cheers, man. Thanks for calling in. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Kai. We love a good UFO story. Our next and final caller of this episode of Open Channels is Lindy from Utah, and she's calling in to talk about cattle mutilations and how a lot of the cases are never solved. It is pretty cool, and we will be doing a case file on it sometime in the near future. Check it out.
Okay. All right. Well, so I don't know why this, like, cattle mutilation, and, like, I think that we refer to it as cattle mutilation, like, you know, here in the States at least, because that's, like, probably what the majority of, like, you know, any large-scale herd of animal would be here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they have, like, kangaroo mutilations in Australia, which, like, is, like, the most heartbreaking thing I've ever heard, you know? Like,
kangaroos are not light and fluffy. They're vicious and crazy.
Oh, really?
Wallab- there's little yeah, wallabies. They're smaller ones, but the big red kangaroos, they fuck people up. Anyways.
Yeah. So, well, like, otters are, like, the sweetest, cutest things ever.
Yeah, so,
like,
yeah, you get to...
violent as well.
There's accounts of, like, animal mutilations all over the world. Not necessarily just cattle. Yeah.
Right, and I'm, like, such an animal lover. So I don't know if it's, like, stuck with me because of that. But, like, I feel like people avoid it. And I don't know if people avoid it because it's, like, gross. And, like, it is. It's so gross, you know? And, like... we are so in our culture, like, anything gross or smelly, like, we hate. And I totally get it. Like, I'm the same way. Like, a bad smell will ruin my day, like, you know, instantly. Like, I don't want to smell something bad. It makes me in a bad mood. And so I get it that, like, we don't want to talk about it because it's a gross topic. But I can't stop thinking about what the fuck. Right?
It is there is some crazy shit about it for sure.
Like, have you guys talked about it? I feel like I've listened to most of your stuff and I haven't really heard you talk about it much.
I think we've talked about animal mutilation.
We've never got to the mutilation part where, like, cuz there's like people do fuck with animals, right? And it's savage.
Yeah.
And it's like grotesque and non-skilled and very, like, that people just, like, break animals' bones and cut them up and just leave them. But some of these cattle mutilations that you're talking about are the ones where, like, these cattle are, like, drained of blood and there's, like, surgical laser incisions and they're like, well, how the fuck did this happen?
Right. And I mean, like, obviously...
In the middle of the fucking woods overnight.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And they say it's always, like, way out in the middle of nowhere where anybody can get to it. And, like, they usually say that when it is... they can tell when it's just, like, somebody fucked with an animal because, first of all, like what you said, like, it's obvious that it's, like, man that's done it. Yeah. And they usually find some, like, crazy guy, you know, like, he's, like, at the nearby convenience store or whatever causing ruckus and they, like, can put them together. But, like, these types of situations, like, have no explanation whatsoever. And, like, there's so fucking many of them. Like, so many. Like, there's so many of them, and, like, we just don't talk about it. And, like, there's never been a single person ever prosecuted, ever. Like, what the fuck is going on? And, like, this stuff that's going on is, like, that's removed is always, like, organs. It's, like, just, like, random parts of the body. It's, like, specific things. It's always a pattern, and there's never, like, an incision or, like, a wound. Like, how are they getting out?
Lots of ones, too, are, like, are perfectly skinned and defleshed.
Right, in, like, certain spots.
And the body will have cuts. They'll have cuts that look precise, but there'll be no blood at the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's, like, never any blood. Like, they take the blood.
Yeah, it's fucking...
like, there's no blood at all. Like, it's gone.
There's, like, I think There was one in, like, every now and then you'll read one, like, oh, it'll be a one-off, like, someone's horse is mutilated, mm-hmm. one horse. You're like, okay, well, even if that's a little weird and some precise cuts, I'll tend to lean to, that was probably some sick weirdo fucking with someone's horse.
Right.
Being a dick. But then you get ones like, there was that one in, I think it was, I want to say, like, I think Indonesia somewhere. It was like 200, 300 goats, and they were like, and they were all the same, like, skinned, mutilated, loss of blood, and they're just like, yep, open investigation. No word of it ever again.
Yeah, exactly. And like, overnight, well, and I'm like,
200 goats, man, that's a lot of goats to kill. Especially, I would like to think that if you're killing one goat around all its goat buddies, they're not sticking around.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the other thing they say, too, is that, like, afterwards, like, these carcasses are not, like, eaten by scavenger animals. They're not, like, destroyed afterwards. Like, animals avoid them. Like, yeah, they stay away. You know how they say, like, with, like, crop circles, like, the energy when you get there is, like, weird. Like, you can, like, feel the energy sometimes. Like, even, like, sometimes they'll make you sick or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like the energy near them is bad.
It's like whatever they use to like do the like drain the blood, the mutilations or whatever it is, the energy leaves like a lasting imprint on the area around it or something.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, okay, so there's all of these like factors that are like, I mean, is that a fact?
Well, it depends who you ask. What a fact is. I just pulled this up because I couldn't remember his name. This guy, Chuck Zukowski. This guy's been, mm-hmm. he's been studying these things for 30 years. And he actually has a book called The 37th Parallel, The Secret Truth Behind America's UFO Highway. And it talks about, like, through America's heartland, where a lot of these catamulations are, there seems to be, like, a pattern between, like, UFO sightings, catamulations, and, like, there's a certain strip across the states where, like, I guess UFOs are often seen. And he goes deep. He goes into all these cases about, like, the ranchers show up and there's no blood around it. The animal's skinned, but there's no blood on the ground. And there's like, how? This is impossible. There's no tire tracks. There's like no one drove out here. It was just like someone dropped down. They did it and they teleported away.
Right. And it's like all of these cases are the same. And there's so, like, I'll say it again, so fucking many. Like, how are we not like paying attention? Like, I don't understand.
Like, well, it was, I would say like, the height, like, even though there's been some, I think it was like, I haven't seen a big one in the news for a while, but like the 70s was like the heyday
right.
for like animal mutilation and like it being like documented and publicized and like, yeah, all over. Like, they, you know, people would say like they saw black helicopters like dropping cows from the sky, like all sorts of weird shit back in the 70s.
Right. And the helicopters don't make sound.
No. Yeah. The black. But like, so I'm like, whatever is going on with that or gone, like, I would definitely say it's definitely slowed down. But then we talked to, I'm blanking on his name, Ryan. Who writes those books about the crop circles? We had him on. Freddie Silva.
Yeah, Freddie Silva.
Right?
Right? Remember, oh my God, said, you guys, that's like your best episode.
Yeah, that one,
he's
awesome.
He talked about how the, like, crop circles have dipped too, right? So I wonder if, like...
Yeah, well,
I
wonder, say they're all, like, fake right now.
You see a downward trend in all these kind of things.
Well, I mean, okay, so there's, like, this one lady. Her name's Linda Howe.
Yep.
She's, like, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I recognize the name.
She's going to be at Alien Con, boys. She is like, I mean, she's like the same way. She's been studying the same thing for so long. And she, on her website, I was just on it today, it said that there were 300 cattle went missing in Colorado, San Luis Valley, on the 30th of March.
Oh, just recently.
So it's like,
oh,
right. Yeah.
I'm reading one about cows in Calgary, or sorry, Colorado, July 2013, that are all their tongues were removed.
It's always surgical precision. They're always surgical precision. Did we not go over that?
I hadn't seen one so recently.
No, you guys, it's still happening all the time. And it's always the same shit. It's always the same parts. And they're always perfectly removed. There's no, like, stitches. There's no, like, there's nothing left. It's just, like, they took them out magically. And then there's no blood. Like, what do they need that much blood for? Okay, are you guys ready for my theory?
Hell yeah. Let's break it down.
Okay. So you guys have talked about Phil Schneider a little bit, right?
I think
the last time that I heard you guys talk about him, we spoke of him positively, correct?
Oh, he's the guy. He's the Dulce based guy who fought the aliens and got his laser fingers melted off, and then he got strangled, or he killed him.
Right.
He strangled himself. Yeah, he strangled himself.
A piano wire. Right. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so you watch these videos, and this guy has like fingers missing. Right.
He does.
So
it's like, yep.
Like he didn't. Did he make this up? Like, I feel like I can believe this guy. Right. So with that being said, he is telling his story before he croaks about this underground base that he works in as like a miner almost, right? And he like digs these tunnels, and he came upon this like group on accident, I guess, of what he said were grays. And that like immediately the smell like hit him. That was like the first thing that like his senses felt, was like the smell was so bad. And like I'm listening to this story, and I don't know the last time I had heard about cattle mutilations, but for some reason like it like instantly hit me. I was like, the only thing I ever can think about when I'm near cows is how effing bad they smell. Like they stink.
True.
They smell so bad.
They're dirty, dirty animals.
And like we are so near cows all the time. I always have lived near cows, and so they're always nearby, and they smell so bad. And I was like, that's what they are. They're totally making like bodies. Okay, so I have the other thing I haven't heard you guys talk much about is like, how do you feel about like mediums who feel like they've claimed that they've talked or, you know, like connected with ETs?
I never really talk about it because it's kind of a hard one to really prove.
It's hard,
right?
Because yeah. I'm sure there's some people who the problem is with 100%, there's people out there that are full of shit.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And there's 100% way more people full of shit than there are legit people. So it's hard to wade through the bullshit to find people who are honest in it. It's just like fortune tellers and stuff, right? Like, I'm sure there's some people have really good intuition and stuff and can like kind of see, you know, have visions and stuff. But then there's so many fakes and falsehoods that it ruins it for everyone, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that can kind of be said about almost anything. Like, I always defend like police, like cops. My dad's a cop, and like, you know, cops get a bad rep because like one cop will snap, or like, you know, not one, but like you get one that's like highlighted and he snapped, and then like, I don't know. It just seems as though one or two people are, you know, they're corrupting, and so then it makes the whole thing look bad. And it's like, I really have had experiences where I just like couldn't deny that I felt like it was the real thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely lots of people like yourself who have like experiences with that stuff or dealt with mediums that are like, oh, that person was like, couldn't have been any more legit, right? So it's kind of
right, exactly. And like, I don't know if it's my like trying to be positive side, trying to see the world in a positive light. I'm always trying to like hope that there's like a good, happy ending to all of it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. With that being said, there's this lady named Lissa. I don't know if he's named Royal or Royal, but she wrote this book about channeling aliens, channeling ETs. And she talks a lot in depth about how they exist in different frequencies, which is kind of outside of like my realm of perception, but like that we all live in like different frequencies, and ours is really dense, which I just think is so funny because of the way that we use the term dense. You know what I mean? Because like humans to me are so fucking dense, but like it's just, we're dense. And so there's like people and things, beings, whatever they are, in these other realms that are so much not, they're so light, much lighter, I guess is like the right word. So maybe like when we see like orbs and things like that, like that's how we're perceiving something that's on a different frequency. Again, outside of my realm. But they, if they wanted to be here in a physical form, would need an organic body that suited this like climate, like this planet. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the only physical way you can live on a planet is if you evolved there.
Yes, yeah, like you gotta be born there. You gotta be born into that atmosphere.
Like you have to be of it. You know what I mean?
It's like
tell my kids that. Like it sounds like so stupid, but like we are Earth.
It's like the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, like the alien comes and he gets like birthed as a human here.
I know. You mentioned that and when you guys were on that other podcast, but I went to watch it on Netflix. It's not on there anymore.
Oh, you listened to us on the something cast.
Yeah, Brayden was so cute in the beginning, and he's like, you're gonna have to bear with us. This is our first time on anybody else's podcast. Like, that's totally how I felt when I called you guys. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all night. It's weird to talk to other people. And
have you guys been drinking beers? You seem like you're super chill.
No beers tonight. I did smoke a little weed earlier, but
I've been sipping on. I'm on my second one. Always have a couple on the go in the podcast room. But no, I got to work tomorrow. It's not, can't be getting meat drill drunk on Thursday.
And it means Lindy. So what's your main theory? We got to wrap it up here pretty quick, but what's your main theory on cattle mutilations?
Well, it creeps me out, but I got to go dark. I'm like honestly, the reason why I wanted to talk with you guys about it is I always am looking for somebody to, like, talk me out of my theory because my theory is scary. And I always, like, try to, like, face my fears. That's, like, the whole thing with my, like, truth journey is even if it scares me to still, like, deal with it. And I'm worried there's some sort of underground army being built with all sorts of organic material from this planet makes all sorts of monsters and scary things that are going to be really, really bad for the future.
What do you mean monsters? Are you talking like reptilian? Are you talking like the kaiju?
I think reptilians can't live here. I think that reptilians are part of the moon. I think reptilians are like one of the earliest ones that brought the moon, but that's so long ago that they've evolved to the point where they can't even be here. So I think that we've got like them from afar tinkering, telepathically, so to say, with stuff here and making some sort of biologically computable army almost that could overtake us however they want without ruining our planet.
Well,
scary, right? I have three little boys that have to grow up on this planet, and I'm like, what did I do bringing you into this world?
Yeah, it's definitely a terrifying thought. I always lean on.
What? Tell me what's going on. What's your theory? What's going on? Like, what the fuck?
Well, I believe.
For me, it's like a lot of these things happen where coincide with, UFO sightings and also like secret underground bases. So I think back in the day, they were just supplying these things for extraterrestrials that they had in these base. Because they said like they had deals and they'd provide like I can't remember where we talked about it once, but they like had a deal where we would supply them with like cadavers and stuff, and so they would just do their stuff to these live cattle.
But what do they need that much blood for? Like, if they're doing genetic testing, why do they, like, if they need DNA, they don't need, like how many gallons of blood is in a cow?
But
quite a bit.
Whatever they were doing, right, it's run its course because it's definitely slowed down since the heyday of the 70s.
So
maybe they did something or they had some sort of, I don't want to say, I can't think of it, but some sort of like blood rituals or something that the government, the army was trying to reproduce. And that's why you see such a spike back then when they were trying to reproduce whatever they found out. And then it kind of peters off because they're like, whatever it is, we don't have the technology to do it or don't understand.
You say peters off, but we talked about it just 2 weeks ago. 200 cows went missing.
Right, exactly. It's not petering off at all. Like the trend is continuing. It's not going away.
I don't petering off, but I mean, like,
you just don't.
In the 70s, in the 70s, like, yeah, I guess you don't hear about it as much anymore, is what I should have said.
Well, and that's my thing about it is like, what the fuck? Like, why don't we hear about it? It's just the weirdest thing ever to me. And this lady, like, I can only imagine how she feels because it's like her life. You know, so she's done her whole career. So it's like she I mean, if it bothers me and keeps me up at night, I can only imagine.
Yeah, okay. What I think is happening is if it is ET related, whatever ET it is using that biological material for something. I don't know if it's necessarily breeding an army, but maybe it's straight up survival. Maybe there's certain parts of the blood or of the cow. Maybe that's what they're using it for. But I don't know about maybe the breeding an
army. You mean like they're like on their planet or wherever?
Yeah, maybe they're a predator species and that's just how they roll. Who knows? But it is really cool, and there's a lot of cool stuff with cat emulations, and you can bet that we will be doing a case file on it because yeah, there's thousands of cases.
It's really interesting.
Actually. Oh my god, it's out of control how many cases there are, and like that don't hear about it. And they say that like the farmers like don't want to talk about it. They don't want to come out and say that it happened to them. They're like, if it happens to them, you know, they're like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at a picture of a cow on top of a power pole with the bottom of its hooves cut off.
Yeah, like what?
What the fuck? And all the ones where they're like skin to the bone, like on the head and stuff, like,
well,
so fucking
yeah.
Weird.
It's always the ears, the udders, the eyes, lips, tongues. They take like the heart, but don't like remove like anything around the heart. There's no like cuts or anything. It's just the heart. Thanks. We're good.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really, really crazy theory. Anyways, Lindy, that's it for open channels number two. Thanks for calling in. And you're going to AlienCon, aren't you?
I am.
Awesome.
I'll be there. Yeah. It's like our getaway. We don't ever get out. So we're so excited. I haven't gotten my shirt yet. I saw you sent it. But
yeah, it should be there next, like this coming week. That seems about right. It should be like Wednesday or Thursday if everything goes smooth.
Sweet. We're like so old and like, you know, parenting right now. I only bought tickets for Sunday and I happened to be listening to a pod when you're like, we won't be there Sunday. And I was like, damn you. So I bought tickets for Saturday.
Oh,
cool.
Awesome.
Thanks for making me extend my vacay.
Hey, no problem. At least we could do.
You're welcome.
Thanks. You guys
we'll
are the
see
best.
You there.
Thank you guys. It was so fun chatting.
Yeah. Bye, Lindy.
Yeah, nice chatting with you, too.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Lindy. Cattle mutilations, there is some strange unsolved ends to those cases, so you can be sure that we will be checking it out more in the future. All right, that's it for Open Channels number two. If you have a story to tell, a theory to share, please email us with a quick summary of what you want to talk about to alientheorists@gmail.com. We'll let you know when our next recording session is, and we will set up a time, and we will get you on the air. Couple quick things before we wrap it up here. AlienCon, June 15th and 16th. Your boys will be there, hanging out, as fans. So we're there as just as fans, just like everybody else. We have no booth, there's no seminars, there's no autograph signings. We're just there drinking beers, taking in all the sights of AlienCon in Pasadena, California. And our goal is to get a big mob of prolapsers just mobbing AlienCon. Hanging out together, going everywhere, going for lunch, going for beers, going to the bar. But if you're going to be there, stay tuned for updates. We'll be putting updates on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. It's going to be awesome. And thank you to all our new Patreon supporters. And last thing for today, big shout out to our Patreon supporters. We have hit 100 supporters, and that means we're going to try and put out an episode a week. But you know us, it might not be a week, but it's going to be much more than it has been. We're doing our best. So let me give a quick shout out to the people who make it happen. Supporting the show at the highest tier are certified alien theorists, Drew Baca, Graham Ashcroft, and Jesse Doyle. Thank you very much. You guys have been supporting the show for a while now. There's still a couple of you who need to get on for your case file, so make sure when you hear this, message us on whatever platform you can. All right, and thank you very much to our newest patrons for supporting the show and pushing us over the 100-person benchmark. We got Shannon Crawford, Murano J. Lucero III. We have Beaky. We have Lindy Rose, Tony Fonick, Tanner, Rick Sanchez, Melissa Pereira, Matt Cipollo, Todd Clement, Rob McFadden, Rich O'Brien, Chris Moreno, Jordan, Natalie Burton, Matt Wilson, Casey Gianzo. Those are our newest patrons. Thank you very much for supporting the show. We got a lot of big things planned. So if you're on the fence of supporting, everyone else is doing it. Give it a try. All right, that's it for us, guys. Keep those eyes on the skies.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.